You have a copy of God's Word. I invite you to turn with us in the New Testament to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, chapter number 2. And as we've had the opportunity to go and to travel and to see different regions of our country this week and different peoples, and God's just really, really spoke to my heart in many different ways this week as to some of the things that we do and some of the things we don't do. Amen. That's the way God speaks to us, I believe, many times. He gives affirmation sometimes as to things that we're doing right, and then He gives affirmation unto some things that we might be doing wrong, and then He gives affirmation unto some things that we could be doing for the cause of Jesus. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, the bond that holds. The bond that holds. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. We'll begin reading. Let's all stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. As we see Paul, as he's burdened for the people there at Philippi, church there, and he heard of that there might be some division, might be some dissension. You say, preacher, you've been hearing rumors, been hearing tales about something? No. But I'll tell you what, I believe there's some preventative measure that needs to be taken from time to time. Amen. We were having devotion the other night, and Brother Herman or Marvin or Marlon, I'll get his name right in a minute. He said, you know, the devil would have loved to have seen everybody just fall apart this past week and us just getting a big row. But I'm glad to see there's some unity there. Amen. And our church needs to be unified. And let's read Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You may be seated this morning. Paul had a burden for some folks there at Philippi. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that somebody had a burden for me. Amen. I'm glad that there was somebody that had such a burden for me that their desire was to share Jesus and that their desire was to allow Him to become Savior and Lord in my life. I'll tell you, we need to have a desire that there would be an upholding of Christian values, that there would be an upholding of true biblical preaching in our midst and in our churches and in our abilities. And we find here that Paul's desire was to teach right. And I believe that's what our desire should be. As Bible-believing Christians, we should have a desire to know what the Bible says and that it would be divided straight and forthwith. And we find that Paul had a desire to minister unto those people at Philippi. And as he spoke these words unto them, I could not help but think that there is one common bond amongst all Christians that binds us together. You know, I don't believe that what Paul was speaking of is that there should be uniformity. We've got a lot of that in Christian circles. Amen. We've got a lot of people say you got to go to a certain place on a certain day in a certain way. Hey, you got to dress in a certain manner. You got to do all these things. And they want people to be uniform. I'll tell you what, I don't believe that God is anywhere in necessarily uniformity, but I believe that His desire is that there might be unity. Amen? Hey, I believe if you're saved by the grace of God, there'll be a burden and there'll be a hunger in your heart for righteousness. You'll want to study and to read and to be everything you can be for Christ. I believe that He'll allow you to make wrongs right. I believe He'll allow you to do things in a way and a manner that you might be found pleasing unto Him and found pleasing unto others, my friend. Hey, there ought to be something that unifies us together. And the bond that holds is Jesus. Amen. Hey, we find the Bible says, if there be any consolation in Christ. I believe we find, first of all, in verse 1, that there is a declaration of promise. I'm glad to know that we can find comfort in Christ. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know what you're talking about. I don't have no joy in my heart. I don't have no peace in my soul. I don't have what you're speaking of this morning. Well, my friend, you need to get a hold of the bond that holds. What you need is a good dose of Holy Ghost salvation. Amen. What you need is to be convinced that you're a sinner on your way to a devil's hell without the blood of Jesus. My friend, we find the Bible says there, if there be any consolation in Christ. Consolation is that which affords comfort, that which affords solace, that which brings refreshment. My friend, the only thing that can bring joy to your soul, the only thing that can help you in a time of need is Jesus. My friend, we need to call upon His name. Amen? Hey, you'll never have comfort in your heart unless you know Jesus. You'll never have assurance in your soul unless you know Jesus. And my friend, furthermore, that He knows you. My friend, we need to call upon His name. We need to trust in Him. Hey, we need to be convinced we're sinners separated from God because of our sin. We need to be convinced that He came and He gave of His life and shed His blood upon Calvary, placed in a barred tomb, rose again on that third day. And we have faith in that. When we have confidence in that, when we know that He died for us and that He arose for us and that one day He's coming again for those that have called upon His name, my friend, we can have peace. Amen. Hey, we can have joy. And my friend, everybody that's ever been saved by the grace of God has one thing in common that will bind them together, and that is the blood of Jesus. Hey, my friend, we might not all go to the same church. Hey, we might not all drive the same car. We might not all gather in the same place at the same time. But my friend, we can have one thing that binds us together, and that is the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring comfort. He's the only one that can bring consolation. My friend, we were how many miles away were we, brother? 1,800, something? 1,400 miles away from home. And we got down yonder and we found we had something in common with them folks. It wasn't necessarily language, amen? Them folks trying to teach us Spanish and Thomas trying to teach them larking. They didn't know much about a larking. But I'll tell you what, we had one thing that brought us together, amen? That was the blood of Jesus. You already heard me and Tony preaching last Sunday morning. We'd say a few words, and then they'd translate a few words. We'd say a few words, translate a few words. We weren't too sure what they were saying, brother. But I'll tell you what, we had one thing in common, amen? And that was Jesus. And my friend, whenever Jesus is in the midst, when He's magnified and He's glorified, there's a declaration of promise that we can cling to, and that is to know that we can have comfort in our soul if we're in right standing with Jesus Christ. The Bible says if there be therefore any consolation, it's in Christ. If any comfort of love. Hey, I'll tell you what, Jesus can bring comfort unto your heart. He can bring comfort unto your soul. That comfort of love is a persuasive address. It's the affection of a holy God. It's God's desire for goodwill and benevolence to be taken place and rooted and grounded in your life. What it's speaking of there is that whenever you're walking through a valley, when you're in a dark spot, when you feel like nobody else is around, my friend, God brings forth a declaration of promise as Jesus comes and He whispers into your ear in that sweet, still, small voice. And He says, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Because I promised you I'd never leave you. I'd never forsake you. I've shared with you that as long as you are in Christ and I am in you, hey, there's comfort, there's consolation, there's refreshment. Hey, as long as we know that God's on our side, my friend, we can have joy and peace in our heart. Hey, I'm glad for His declaration of promise. He says, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. My friend, God wants us to have fellowship with Him. Hey, it's the bond that holds that through the blood of Jesus we have relationship. It's through the blood of Jesus that we find our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's through the blood of Jesus in which we're sealed unto the day of redemption of the purchase of possession. Hey, it's through the blood of Jesus that we have assurance. Hey, my friend, there's a lot of people have blessed assurance in a church membership, in a baptismal certificate. My friend, we need not have our assurance in nothing less than that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to our heart, that He's wiped away our sin debt, that He saved us and sealed us, and one day is going to come back and deliver us from this sin-cursed world. My friend, there's the declaration of promise that beyond the relationship, we can have fellowship with God in the Spirit, that pneuma that's describing God in the third person of the triune Godhead. God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My friend, it's through Him that we can have fellowship. Fellowship speaks of association. It speaks of communion. It speaks of joint participation. My friend, I'm thankful that we can enjoy the things of God and can have joy together when the Spirit is fellowshipping with our soul. My friend, God can help us if we'll call upon Him. Amen? Hey, any fellowship of Spirit, if any vows and mercies. Now, I'll tell you what, this right here is what really began to speak to my heart, Brother Curtis. Hey, whenever you get away from this place, whenever you get away from what we consider to be comforting, whenever we know that we can find fellowship close by, and then we leave this place and go somewhere where there ain't too many Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches, ain't too many people that have like mind as we have to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, there's a lot of people that are caught up in religion around our world, and I'll tell you, religion is nothing more than man's attempt to try to reach a holy God. But my friend, through redemption, hey, through reconciliation, amen, hey, through regeneration, that's God's working as He reaches down unto a fallen man and picks us up out of the muck and the mire and allows us to be brought together, to be brought in unity together with a holy God. My friend, the Bible tells us here, if any vows and mercies. Now, listen to what vows is speaking of. Vows is regarding the seat of the more violent passions. It's where anger and love reside. I'm talking about that deep, earnest place within the inside of every man and every woman and every child that's in the house of God today. My friend, everybody has a vow of anger. Amen? Hey, it don't take long to tick some of us off. It don't take much to get some of us on the flip side. But my friend, I'll tell you what, there's also a seat of love that's rooted within each and every one of us when we're hooked up to the Savior. Amen? When we're hooked up to God. There ought to be a place in our heart that's longing to reach out and to share the gospel story with somebody else. That vow is regarding that seat of the more violent passions of anger and love. It's a heart in which mercy resides. It's speaking of the tender mercies of a holy God. It's talking about the affection that we have to reach out and to share Jesus with somebody else. My friend, there's a declaration of promise that God will bring comfort unto our heart. He'll bring consolation unto our soul. Hey, we'll have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Hey, we'll have fellowship with a holy God if we're willing to reach out and share that same tender mercy that's been afforded unto us. My friend, that tells me that we need to, just as God has made promise unto you and I and has given us assurance to know that if we're to die, we go to heaven. He wants somebody else to have that same assurance. And my friend, we don't have to go all the way to Texas. We don't have to go all the way to Montana. We don't have to go all the way to Vermont. My friend, we don't have to go to the Philippines. We don't necessarily have to go to England. Hey, we ain't got to go to Romania to share that tender love and that tender mercy of a holy God. My friend, it might be a matter of walking up the creek. It might be a matter of going down the road. It might be a matter of going next door and telling them that God loves them and that He has a purpose and a plan for their life, that God is not willing that they should perish and go to a devil's hell, but that through Jesus they can find salvation. Amen. Hey, there's a declaration of promise that is right here. Hey, if any vows and mercies. Those mercies speaks about compassion. Boy, I'm glad that somebody had compassion upon me. I'm thankful that God allowed people to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with us. I'm glad for godly grandparents. I'm thankful for godly friends that had enough desire to share Jesus with me. And my friend, we need to also have that same vow. We need to also have that same mercy that's been afforded unto us that we might give it unto somebody else. Hey, there's the declaration of promise, but there's also the determination of peace. Now, in so doing, of sharing the promise of a holy God, there must be unity amongst the people of God. Amen? I'll tell you, it breaks my heart to see churches divided. Breaks my heart to see churches split wide open. Breaks my heart to see there be a division within the body of Christ. Hey, when there's no peace, when there's no unity, there can be no declaration of the promise of a holy God. My friend, a church that's broken and divided is no way going to have a strong mission program. A church that's broken and divided is not going to have a visitation program. A church that's broken and divided shall have no jail ministry. My friend, we need to be a people that's desiring to share the gospel of peace with a lost and dying world. And the Bible tells us here that there He says, fulfill ye my joy. Make it complete. What brought joy? What brought peace? What brought gladness unto Paul, the man of God? What enabled him to have comfort in his heart and his soul? I believe joy was found in Paul most of all whenever a sinner knelt and asked Jesus to be their Savior. Amen? Hey, I'll tell you what, I believe Paul would just shout the glory down whenever somebody got saved. I believe Paul would be ecstatic. I believe he'd be standing on his toes and jumping for joy and shouting and glorifying and praising God when somebody got saved in the family of God. My friend, we also need to be that same way. We need to have that same longing. We need to have that same joy. We need to have that same satisfaction when somebody gets born again. Amen. Hey, that's one less that the devil's going to have. Amen. That's one less that's going to go to a devil's hell and burn eternally forevermore. But their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that brought joy to Paul. I believe also joy was brought into Paul when he saw that in a desert region, in a dry region, in a fallow land, that there was a gospel, Bible-believing church planted there, that the glory of God might be extended, that the gospel might be preached, that from that church that there might be other churches sent forth and spread out. And I'll tell you what, I think that brings joy unto Paul. My friend, if we are in like mind as Paul is, that ought to bring joy unto us. Amen. I'll tell you what, to leave this place and to go and spend a few days, Brother Dennis and Miss Sandra, it made me to realize in my own heart, my own life, hey, we might not be bringing joy unto God as much as we possibly could. Amen. Hey, it's good to give to missions. I believe that pleases God. It's good to be in church regularly. I believe that pleases God. I believe it's good to study your Bible and to read the Word of God and to teach and to preach. I believe that pleases God. But my friend, I believe that it would also please God if we would have a greater burden for lost people. If we'd have a greater burden to share the gospel. Have a greater burden to hand out a tract. Have a greater burden to go out and to visit and to shake on some door, shake some bushes and knock on some doors and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus? Have you ever been born again?" It amazes me. Brother Dennis was saved through door-to-door visitation. Brother Dennis was saved by somebody walking up to his door and knocking upon the door and presenting the gospel tract and spending some time with him. Now, if God could use one person out of a Bible-believing church to go out and to knock on a door, and to see a man saved, and that through that man, he would get a burden to serve God and to serve Him with all of his heart and all of his life, and to even step out and go to the mission field and see churches built, and see people saved, and see God doing a great work. Hey, couldn't God do the same thing for somebody else here at East Alarka? Couldn't God do the same thing for somebody else in Alarka community? Couldn't God do the same thing through somebody else in Swain County? Amen. I'll tell you what, I believe that there is needs to be within us a determination of peace that we would also desire to fulfill the joy that would please a holy God to see things done. Hey, the Bible says here, He says, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded." That word like-minded means to think the same. My friend, hey, we all need to be on the same page. Amen. When churches are not on the same page, there's division. When we're not on the same page, there can be derision. Hey, the Bible says here that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That accord right there speaks of together with. It means that they are united in spirit. It means that they are harmonious. It means that they are one in Christ, and in all of their desires are to please Him and to bring glory unto His name. My friend, the Bible says that Paul's desire was that they would be of one accord, united as one. My friend, we need to have that same desire. Our mind, being of the same mind, to be agreed together. Hey, to cherish the same views. Now, I said once again, hey, it ain't about uniformity, but it is about unity. Amen. That we see lost and dying people come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. So we see the declaration of promise. We see the determination of peace. But where the rubber meets the road, amen, where the shoe leather gets worn is through the demonstration of position. You say, "Hey, preacher, how can I do that? How can I tell somebody else about Christ? How can I tell somebody else about how to be saved? How can I serve God with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength? How can I serve Him inwardly and outwardly and upwardly? How can I do that?" Hey, my friend, the Bible tells us here in verse number 3, He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory." Amen. There ain't no big I's and little U's in the family of God. That strife right there, that means the desire to put oneself forward. It speaks of a partisan and fractious spirit. My friend, we need not be one ahead of the other. Amen. Hey, we need to all be on the same page. You know what? We're all found at the same place. Amen. Bible says, for we were all come short of the glory of God. Bible says, for all have sinned. My friend, those wages of sin is death. My friend, we were all separated because of the iniquity of our soul. We were all guilty. We were all separated from a holy God. But by grace and through mercy and by faith, my friend, we've been brought together and unified in the body of Christ. And therefore, we need to also, once we're saved, have that same mindset. Hey, that we're all just sinners saved by grace. And my friend, we need to just fall right in wherever we need to fall in and serve God. Hey, the Bible says right there, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory speaks of a groundless self-esteem. It speaks of an empty pride. Hey, vainglory is air of man because they think they're somebody better than somebody else. My friend, we're all sinners saved by grace. Therefore, we just need to fall in and say, God, I want to serve You. How do I serve You? How do I do that demonstration of position? The Bible says right here, in lowliness. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In lowliness of mind. Lowliness means of having an humble opinion of oneself. It's a deep sense of one's littleness. I'll tell you what, the more I read this blessed Bible, the more I see that I have fallen shorter and shorter of the glory of God. Amen. Hey, the more I read this precious book, the more I see that I am nothing and that God is everything. My friend, it's only by God's grace that I am who I am today. It's only by God's mercy that I've been saved and brought through. My friend, it's only by His goodness and His kindness and His loving affection that we are who we are today. And my friend, if you've never received Jesus, you're still separate. If you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, my friend, the sin debt is still there. My friend, there'll be no joy until you get born again. Amen. The Bible tells us here that whenever we are born again, there would be lowliness. Hey, my friend, He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That lowliness of our mind, esteem others. Hey, that esteeming means to consider, to deem, to account, and to think others better than ourselves. One to be superior, one to be more excellent, one to surpass, and one to rise above. My friend, the only way we can see sinners saved is whenever we humble ourselves and go and share the gospel story with them. It don't matter what their skin color is. If you turn on the news, there's been such a row and such a stink in Washington over race, and they're trying to see this party's racist against this party. And my friend, I'm glad that in the glory of God, in the body of Christ, amen, just like that little song we learned years ago, red or yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. My friend, we need to not be prejudiced in the family of God. We need not look down upon somebody else because of skin color. We need not look down upon somebody else because of what kind of car they drive or what kind of car they don't drive or what type of house they live in or what type of house they don't live in. Hey, my friend, we need to realize that it's only by God's grace that we have what we have and we are who we are. And my friend, we need to reach out and share the love of Jesus with others that are around us. He says right there that, hey, we can do this demonstration through our position, my friend, which is a position of lowliness. He says there in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. My friend, I was reminded this past week of what I had. Amen. By looking at what others don't have. Amen. Hey, we all be glad to have air conditioning. Amen. I'll be glad to have a facility to worship in. Hey, y'all be glad to have a floor in your house. I'll be glad to have a roof over your head. I'll be thankful for the things that God has granted unto us. And my friend, we need to reach out and share the love of Jesus with others that might not have. My friend, we need to tell them about the greatest gift that's ever been given. My friend, it's not that it was given through riches and pearls and monetary things. My friend, those are good gifts. But my friend, the greatest gift you'll ever receive is the gift of salvation. The only way you can receive that is to acknowledge that you're a sinner, separated from a holy God, and realize that God's convicting you on the inside of your heart. My friend, if there's no peace there, there's probably conviction there this morning. And I encourage you, call upon Jesus. Amen. Call upon Him. Hey, that conviction is none other than God trying to reach out and allow Himself to allow you to realize that you need to let Him into your life. Need to let Him into your soul. Need to let Him into your heart that you might receive the peace of a holy God. It's only through Jesus, only through believing in His death, burial, and resurrection, and that He died for you as He died for me. Every head bowed this morning.